Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 3 in our teaching on the Book of Ephesians titled, Grace That Covers and Seated in Heavenly Places. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Good morning. So glad you're here. Our goal and our purpose is to study the Word of God, not to make us real smart. Most of us think we're smart enough already. Amen. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to be real smart. The Bible is not to make you smarter. The Bible is, consider it a road map, and this map is guiding you and leading you unto a place of your in your life, a place that your life can be in. So as we learn this road map, it will tell us about a lot of the things we will see along the way. There's a lot of symbols in the scriptures. There's a lot of scenery in the scriptures. There's a lot of things here that points to us to tell us that we are on the right path, heading in the right direction. So as Christians, we're not necessarily coming together, just like I said, to know more. We want to know Him more, the Lord, which is true. But I want us to consider the scriptures as a road map. As what if you even said it was a treasure map? Would that make it more exciting? Do you believe that the gospel is probably the greatest treasure on earth? I would have to say it is, even though we don't fully understand, nor do we fully recognize this treasure called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures go on to tell us, as we have this treasure map, He goes on to point us to a destination, and He calls us that this treasure is in earthen vessels. The treasure's in earthen vessels. So we see that this roadmap of the Spirit that is going to lead us unto the destination, this treasure map, that this treasure, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that this treasure is in you. The Apostle Paul said, it's Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Now, glory, one day I want to do a teaching on the glory of God. Because the glory of God is so vast that you can teach on it and it will never be exhausted. The glory of God is like the love of God. There's one thing about the love of God, as we learned part of this in Ephesians, is that the love of God has no end. The glory of God has no end, and the love of God has no end. So there's two things that we see in the book of Ephesians. He centers on the glory of God and the love of God, which is part of, the major part of, this hidden treasure that's been hidden in earthen vessels. And just because it's in us, it doesn't mean we're in touch with it. Amen? Just because He's in us doesn't mean we're in touch with it. So the Scripture's a roadmap of this treasure hunt to find out that it's in us if we receive Jesus Christ, that this treasure is in these earthen vessels. And we will see in the scriptures, in the teaching a little bit today, that this treasure that is in earthen vessels is not mechanical. It's not really that tangible. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. And so God is wanting us to get in touch with the treasure. So He's given us the scriptures to show us how to get through this maze, through this matrix, that we can truly discover what's hidden in these scriptures. These scriptures, which is this roadmap, could only still be with us today because there's more in this book yet to be discovered that's within us that we have yet known? Could it be that the fullness of life, could it be that the fullness of feeling alive, could it be that this power that we read about, could it really be so? Could it really be true? Perhaps it takes a little more mining to get to the gold than we thought. It's been there all the time. It's not a pathway. It's not a treasure map for those that are faint of heart. As you're on your pathway to find this treasure and let it come alive, as you're on this pathway, it just so happens that we run into those that are trying to destroy us receiving the fullness of this great treasure that God's putting within us. So on this path of life, you run into these little demons, tries to rob your joy, rob your faith. They might even knock you down. Why do we have forgiveness? Why do we have the grace of God? It's so when somebody gets knocked down by the enemy, that we're there to pick them up and say, we're heading this away. Come on, let's go. We grab each other by the hand. Everyone gets knocked down. Anybody been knocked down the last week? Of course you have. Especially with the service that we had Sunday. It's got a price. The dark world has noticed. And it's saying, payback. Y'all mess in that world, it's going to cost you. Somebody has to be strong and has to stand. We have a week that can be tough and rough. But yet you will find, because of an outpouring of like last week, you will find that you now have more of the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil than you did the week before. Can you not feel it inside of you? Yes, it's been hard. But for some reason, I find myself able to stand and to rise up and say, yes, it's been a hard week, but you know what? My God trumps anything that this world of darkness has to offer. That's just the way it is. I'm going to camp out right there. And as the Lord continues to pour out His Spirit, you'll find your spirit man just growing, getting a little bolder, a little more determined to stand. Last week you didn't think you could stand anymore, did you? All of a sudden now you find yourself, I think I can stand a little more. Well, the heat's going to turn up a little bit. Does anybody want more revelation, more outpouring of His Spirit? God will pour you out the measure of the Spirit that you need to walk where you need to walk. He'll blow into your lungs. He'll blow the wind of the Spirit upon you. And you'll find yourself rising up. Rising up. You'll be walking in and finding that treasure that God's put within you. Like I said, it's alive. It's alive. Last week's lesson, little review, just a little bit of the points of it. Faith plus love plus thanks. You got it? Say it with me. Faith plus love plus thanks. Now, kid, did you imagine those three always go together? When you truly are walking in faith, how do I know I'm truly walking in faith? It's because you have the love of God. And when you start really walking in faith with the love of God, you can't help but just be thankful. Did you know a thankful person is not a complaining person? So how do you know your spiritual condition? It's by checking your mouth. Are you thankful or are you complaining about everything? The devil does not need a news reporter to give the report on how much the devil's doing. We got TV for that. God is looking for a people who will give a report on what God's doing in spite of what the devil's doing. If you're ever going to give a criticism, it's not legal to give a criticism unless you give an antidote and a thankfulness at the end of it. Amen. Faith plus love plus thanks equals something. Now, when we do this spiritual formula, if you will, it will equal wisdom and revelation. Now, this is a formula, the roadmap of the Spirit to find this hidden treasure that God has placed in you. It equals wisdom and revelation. Here it is in Ephesians. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love, see it there, for all who? Love for who? Do you remember me telling you about that revival I was in years ago and this cranky fella in the church, cranky about everything? He needed one of those badges you put on you. Lapel says the crankiest church member known to God. He just was cranky. But this outpouring came and the Spirit of the Lord is there and he came up to me crying and said, Alan, I don't understand it. I just love everybody. How do you know if you're being affected by an outpouring of God? It's because you'll have love for all the saints. Now, how many? All. How do you know if you're not quite there yet? You don't have the all full. How do you know you are experiencing an outpouring of God's Spirit? You just start loving all the saints. And you dare anybody to talk about them. You're in love with all of them. And then you do not cease giving thanks for them. Wow. And you give thanks for them. While making mention of you in my prayers, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. So you see where I get my formula. Faith plus love plus thanks equals wisdom and revelation. Now let me ask you this question. Or let me make this statement perhaps. Knowledge of in and of Jesus Christ only comes through wisdom and revelation. If you want to know more about him, the spirit world requires you to have wisdom and revelation. You can say, okay, Alan, I want wisdom and revelation. How do I get that? You have faith. You love all the brethren. Then you thank God for them. You thank God for the brethren. So you can't thank God for the brethren till you love them. Now, that's got to tell us something about this spiritual matrix. Why is this so necessary? The reason that it is necessary because it takes all of us to make up the body of Christ. And if part of the body is not in love with the other part of the body, we're going to have a spiritual RA. We're going to have spiritual arthritis. We're going to destroy ourselves. God will not put power on you to destroy its own body. God will pour out his spirit and his power on a body that's in unity. What's the formula for unity? Faith, love, and thanks of the brethren. The brethren is a big deal. It's a big deal. That's the reason the enemy wants you to fall out with the brethren. Is because he know he has now kept at bay an outpouring of God's Spirit. He does it very stealth and easy. It's just little into windows, little things. Just enough to keep the unity of the brethren. With the unity of the brethren, you love each other and you have faith for it. Then God will pour out upon you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. All of a sudden, you got spirit and revelation. You see the door. You see an opening. Jesus is out there knocking. He says, come on in. And you'll come in and you'll walk into a revelation of Jesus Christ. And you'll understand why this book's still here. You'll understand how it made it. You'll understand why and how people sit at the foot of a mountain just looking up into heaven for days upon days upon days upon days, because they walked through that door and they got some more revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ is a creator. Stop seeing Jesus Christ just as a man. You see, he's like you. He is not his body. He just had one. You're not your body. You just got one to motivate on planet Earth. Spiritually speaking, he uses the terminology of a physical body, because his physical body, if his physical body is not in unity, then it is what we call sick. So as we get into Ephesians, we see that he's training us, teaching us that the thing we're shooting for is unity of the brethren. We love each other. And if you're not ever, the first thing you do looking for a church, people will walk in and will say, you know, I could just really feel the love. That's the first thing anybody ever says. Or if you go into a church, well, they're pretty cold there. What are they measuring? Subconsciously, they're measuring the level of love that's in a body. It's because you are spiritually, your DNA is made up to have receptors to the love of God. And you want to run and find out where the love of God is. And everywhere the love of God is, it's going to draw people. It's going to draw people that's got that treasure. That treasure will hone into it, and it'll sneak her down. Promise you, today's service, there'll be people here you've never seen. Because we start to touch in just a little bit of unity. A little bit of an outpouring of God. It shoots stuff out in the spirit you can't see. Do you have an assignment? Yes, that's love each other. Don't seek after God until you love each other. Then seek after God. If you hate each other and seek out of God after God, you're going to get a counterfeit. You're going to have a religious spirit. You're going to say, I know what God wants. Watch me. Now, you see in the spirit by the eyes of your heart. Your heart has eyes. You see in the spirit by your heart. Now do you understand that when you love each other, it conditions your heart so you can see? You can't see if you don't love each other. I've had people come up to me and they'll say, well, Alan, you know, I think God's doing this and God's doing that and whatever. And I know they fell out with this whole person over here or that person, and they're trying to tell me they can see. How do I know they're not seeing? I know that they are trying to see, but you got to let go and love the brethren so you can see, because it conditions the heart. The heart's what sees. If the heart's sick, the heart's going to see at best. It'll be distorted. Let God heal your heart so you can see. Watch it. I pray, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your heart may be what? Enlightened. That means turn the lights on. So that you will know. He's got three things he wants you to know when your eyes can see of your heart. So that you will know what, number one, is the hope. Say hope. Hope of his calling. Now, here's what you got to understand. We discover here that God's calling upon you has a hope behind it. That means it's conditional. It can happen or not. But you need to see it before you can get it. Hope of his calling. Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What that means is, when I talked about glory earlier, glory is something we've got to get into. So I want you to see it when you run into it. It's all about the love of God and the glory of God. So he has a hope, but this glory's rich. It's got a richness to it. Of the inheritance of the saint. Number three, the three what's. What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? Now listen, this book is full of power. The day that we are living in, we got to have more power. Hey, some demons out here that's invading people's bigger than they are. Got to have some power. There's power. This book's telling us about the power. Now, just because you're not experiencing the power, don't try to rationalize why this book's not true. The very fact this is covering 6,000 years is testimony that there's truth about this book. It's been around 6,000. You've been around less than 100. So what makes you an authority over a 6,000? What year is it? 2013. The whole world goes by 2013. I've said this to you before. The whole world goes by 2013. 2013 from what? From the day of Jesus Christ. The whole world, every time they write down 2013, is given testimony that Jesus Christ walked this earth. Believers and non-believers alike use the number. Testimony. You got to get eyes to see. If you don't have eyes to see, you're convinced that the devil's winning. The better you can see, you start seeing, oh, 2013, everybody's doing ha, 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 whether you like it or not, you're giving testimony to him. You'll start seeing stuff everywhere. All of a sudden, you'll see the kingdom of God's ahead. We're reaching the finish line, and I just couldn't see what all God was doing. Is this a bad day? She's pretty rough. But the rougher it is, I promise you, God's trumping it. So if your badness is trumping your goodness, you need to love a little more. Get your eyes opened up. You need a little more light. My God is not taken by surprise today. I don't care what your TV says. I don't care how many disasters there are and how many whatever's happening. If you've got eyes to see, God's doing more than that. Which one do you want to see? The fallen nature of man craves that's bad, that's disheartening. It's because in your hidden soul of the fallen of man, you're wanting a witness of why you feel so bad. Come on. You feel bad down deep, so you want to watch this stuff. So that's why I feel. It justifies your feeling bad. Well, God help us. We've got to have our eyes enlightened to what God is doing. We do it by coming into unity. How do we do that? We just love each other. And if you'll let yourself, you will. And as we love each other, God says, okay, I'm going to show you. You're beginning to love each other a little more. I'm going to give a little bit. I'm going to pour out just a little weedy bit. Listen, Sunday he gave us a drop. It's about more than we can stand, right? He poured out a little bit. People loved each other, loved it. Tried to run people off 4 or 5 times, he wouldn't leave. Had one person ask me, said, well, Alan, why do you keep closing it down? And I told him this. There was an old preacher years ago told me this. Said, Alan, when God's pouring out his spirit and the fire of God's burning, he said, don't hype it up. He said, throw water on it. He said, and if it keeps burning, it's God. So I would say, okay, now it's time to go. Call number 5. What am I doing? I'm being obedient to what that old preacher taught me. Sit down and throw a little water on it. Y'all wouldn't leave. What did that give me a witness of? It's God. It is God. You see, we're looking for God, the treasure, to come up out of his people. We're not looking for a group. This worship team up here is just trying to lead us in worship. When the congregation drowns out the worship team, it's the fire of God. I've been in the service where the fire of God was so burning in the people, they started singing the song over and the worship team had to catch up to them. The Spirit of God was a conductor of the orchestra of God. What do you think? I think I better move on. All right, we had three things that we saw in the scriptures here. These are, now it's in this scripture right here. See it there in Ephesians 1, 19 through 21. These are, say it with me, these are. Now at the top of my heading right there, these are hope, glory, and power. You see that? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. The these are is the hope, glory, and power that I showed you right there. This is Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. Hope, you see it? He opens your spiritual eyes. He opens those up. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so you can see the hope of his calling, the glory of the inheritance. That means there's glory. There's the glory is in us and the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. So God has a receptor to send his power to. You got to have a receiver. Say, I'm a receiver. You see, God put the Holy, he knows what he's doing. God puts the Holy Spirit in us. But the Holy Spirit is needing energized. It's a receptor. And so as the Holy Spirit's in us, if we will open up our hearts, then our eyes are open, then God, through his surpassing greatness of his power towards us, to he shoots the power to the receptor, the Holy Ghost, within you. So some of you got a little bit of juice. The Holy Ghost is in you. You opened yourself up, and God, because he's great, sent some power towards you who believe. Then it goes into the next verse, and he says, these are the hope and glory and power of the previous verse, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. You see, God's going to send you the power to do it. These demons out here and the problems that you are encountering are bigger than you. Now listen, God's going to send you enough power to take off the bigger than you part. God's going to do the hard part. It's bigger than you. He's going to send you your power. The Holy Spirit within you is going to be the receiver. All of a sudden you're going to get a spiritual energy that you did not have. And now you can go against those demons that are coming against you. But understanding, you'll be victorious, but it's because God took care of that was bigger than you. And he got it down on a level that you can handle it and deal with it. Are you with me? You say, well, why won't God just take it away? Listen, the reason you're here is to learn how to rule and reign with him. Jesus died on the cross to take off the edge. The big demon's gone. All the demon, God, if you ask him in your life to take care of the demon that's causing this thing, it's bigger than you, he'll do it. Call on him, he'll do it. Now please hear me. When the demon has been taken care of, he's left something in your heart. It's his programming. His programming. Then God says that you're to walk in obedience of the love of Christ so you can be deprogrammed. And as you're deprogrammed, the new man's coming forth. God took care of the demon. You got to take care of the programming. I've been in situations that I've seen demons turn on each other and give up each other because they knew the program had already been delivered. It gets imprinted upon your heart. Say, well, we need to cast out this demon. Well, I'm sorry, the demon's done gone. But it left an imprinting, a program upon the heart, which is painful. All of a sudden, it takes on a automatic drive. You'll do stuff that you don't know why you're doing them. Most people with drug abuse, the demon's already gone. It's just left the program. It's just a compulsion to keep doing the program. Anything that's of an addictive nature has been implanted by a demon. It's trying to kill you. The whole goal is to kill you. Now, the demons can be gone. I can never understand this sometimes. I said, well, why? God, the demon's gone. What's going on? He said, yeah, but the demons left the word in them. You see, the demon's imprinting, the demon's program is replacing this program. So that's the reason God says you got to be born again. And let me hurry up here. Let me get into this one. Now, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it has three time periods. Now, remember what I'm just leaving because I'm heading back into it. Ephesians 2 is divided in three places. It's times past in Ephesians 2, 2 and 11, but now, which is Ephesians 2, 13, and ages to come, which is Ephesians 2 and 7. So in chapter 2 that we studied this past week and that we're studying today, and I can already tell I'm going to have to study it next week, so we'll be in chapter 2 next week. Chapter 2 has three divisions. Apostle Paul always writes like that. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I know that's a spiritual key of the Apostle Paul. So when I'm looking at Ephesians, I'm looking for Paul's divisions because he always writes like that so you can understand it. It's usually past, present, and future. Paul usually talks about where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in times past, he says this in 2, 1 through 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, in, say it with me, times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the Apostle Paul is talking about part of the old programming here. Are you in your Bibles? Do you have your observation worksheets if you'd like to look at those or turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2? I'll be reading here out of the King James. I use the New American Standard and the NIV and other translations, but I personally use KJV, so it might sound a little odd to you. Now, here's what I want us to see. In times past, we had a walk. Now, in Romans 12, 1 through 2, watch this one. I'm just comparing scripture to scripture here. And in your Bibles, if I was you, beside Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I would write in a pencil out beside it Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's what you call cross-referencing. We cross-reference to get the Word of God. He says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Be what? Be ye transformed. Being transformed means that you're taking the program that's been in your walk of times past, and you're that word transformed by how? All right, how am I going to get this programming of my times past out of me? So you can come to Christ, you can walk with Christ, you can be born again, and then you got the same programming in you. The demons can be gone. It's all gone. The programming's there. So, Paul tells us you got to be transformed. Now, the transforming, y'all have heard me say this before, and I'm sure theologically some of you cut cartwheels, but it's okay. Just love me anyway. I believe the born-again experience is in three parts. I think I am born again. My spirit has been reborn. It's brand spanking new. It's jumping up and down, cutting cartwheels, and y'all ain't seen nothing yet. My soul's being born again. Now, the completion of the born-again experience is when I get my new body. According to this morning, when I woke up, I know I ain't got it yet. So, I'm born again, I'm being born again, and I'm going to be fully born again. So when I walk into the presence of God and I walk through those pearly gates and they're going to give me my new body, I'm going to walk right on in there. My spirit man's, my soul and my body's finally going to catch up with my spirit. Can you hear me? And when that thing catches up, just woo. That's just woo right on up there. It's going to be a sight. How do we get transformed? The soul's being born again. That's called transformation. It's being transformed. By how? The renewing of the mind. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't know. A lot of people say, Alan, I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know what it is for my life. I don't know what the will of God is. You need your mind renewed more. You're not transformed enough. When you're transformed enough through the renewing of your mind, you'll know what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Okay, there's not but one way to get there. You got to dig deep. You got to dig, get your pick and shovel out. You got to go to work. You got to mine out this power and this treasure. And we do. The very fact you're sitting in here is proof that you want your mind renewed. And as you get your mind renewed, you're going to get wisdom and revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ is going to tell you what the perfect will of God is. And the more we all walked in this transformed, renewed mind, the easier it is to walk in unity. Because we're all going to be watching the same TV show from heaven. We're going to be given the same report. We're going to be hearing the same thing. Because God's perfect will is going to be made known to us as a congregation. Oh, come on. Does anybody want a little of that? Listen, it'll mess you up, but it'll get you ready for heaven. So the way this transformation has is through the renewing of our mind. If you'll notice the title of that little slide, I just mentioned it right briefly, like a butterfly. What happens to a butterfly? That word transformed, the Greek word for transformed in the KJV, is metamorphio, which means, emphasizes a total change from inside out. It's like a butterfly. This is also a compound verb comprised of meta, implying change, and morphe, meaning form, changing form. Our English word metamorphosis comes from this word. Now, I had a YouTube for you this morning. We didn't quite get it worked out for you. I wanted you to see. We're going to see it next Sunday. But here's the point. A butterfly starts off as a worm. Anybody felt wormy here before? That's the word that God wants us to capture. It's the butterfly. Some of you in here, a butterfly means something big. It's because God's prophetically speaking something big. We start off as a worm. Then it grows into a caterpillar. And that caterpillar spins a cocoon. I would say that our churches were now in a cocoon. When a worm turns into a caterpillar, into a cocoon, what symbols that caterpillar being an adult is that it bursts out of the cocoon and it starts to fly. And it sure is pretty. All different colors. Has anybody seen that butterfly bush right around here at the corner? I walked around the corner the other day and they all flew off of there. You say, Alan, where'd you get this from? From that butterfly bush right out there. God spoke to me. He said, Alan, that's where you're at. If y'all learn to fly, I'll blow wind under your wings, is what he spoke to me. But see, it requires that we mature as adults. To fly means we're going to mature as adults. Metamorphio. Transform. How do we turn into this butterfly? By the renewing of your mind. Whatever's holding you back from flying, you gotta let it go. You say, Alan, I don't know how. Well, just holler out to God until he does. Let it go. If you can't let it go, you're not an adult in that area yet. Say, Alan, I love you anyway. If you can't let it go, you have yet to mature in the love of Christ. You're not an adult yet in that area. And it will keep you from flying. It'll keep you from being beautiful. When you love everybody in the body of Christ, I mean the craziest ones of us that we got, including me, you'll think we're so pretty. It's the beatenest thing I ever seen. We can be uglier than a horny toad. And we'll just love that horny toad. Say, ain't he pretty? I don't know where that one come from. I think come from old brother, where art thou? And he was sitting there. Now. Now I know who watched that movie. You'll love everybody. Oh no. I turned left and God went right. Now, oh, maybe my face got hot. Be ye transformed, metamorphosis. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:17. You can write that out beside your Romans number. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, he's talking about a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now here's the deal. Remember the butterfly. The butterfly is changed from glory to glory until it completely changes its image. You got to understand, when it was a caterpillar, it ate vegetation. When it turned into a butterfly, it had to so change that it starts eating nectar. It doesn't even eat the same thing. A butterfly will die if it starts eating vegetation again. Now some of you have been butterflies, but you've went back to the wrong diet. You're losing your color. You can't fly. You got to get back to the nectar of the Word. Anybody got a witness? The metamorphosis, that caterpillar turns completely 100%. Its cell structure even changes. What it eats and digests changes. It leaves from crawling around on its belly to flying on the wind. Did you know if a butterfly glides more than it flaps? It's because its wing expanse is designed in such a way that it can get lift from just very, 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 very little wind. One scientist did this, and I'm running over time. One scientist did this called the butterfly effect. He proved, as a theory, that a butterfly could flap its wings in Africa, and the start of that motion in 3 to 6 months could cause a hurricane in the Caribbean. It's called the butterfly effect. Now, somebody say, wow on that one. Now, here's the deal. God's called His church to be transformed. We're to turn into butterflies. And we can flap a little here. And we can cause a tremendous outpouring over there. Can you catch that? Can you receive it in the Spirit? God's wanting us transformed. See, when the power hits us and we flap a little, there's no telling what we'll cause. You got to see it. You got to understand that you as a butterfly makes a difference. So as we come together in His body, with the power of God coming down upon us because we have hope and we love the brethren. Then he shoots his power towards you. We start to grow and mature as adults. We start to fly. I would to God that we had a reputation of new lives like a bunch of butterflies. They've all been transformed. If you've seen one, you've seen Jesus. And for some reason, they just love everybody. If you want more people to come into this church and experience the presence of God, there's not but one thing we have to do. It's not run ads in the paper. It's not just do all this stuff just right. It's just that the love of God, that we love each other, is here and it's real. And it'll hit the receptors in the human heart. And I'll tell you this prophetically. If you'll take God up on this, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just hallelujah. And it's 20 after and I could go on and on. But we're going to stop. Get a chicken egg. Cup of coffee. We're going to love on each other for a minute. And we're going to come back in here and I want to see us fly. So Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and the truth of your word. Presence of your people. Presence of your spirit. Dear God, I ask and pray that all of our hearts will truly be transformed. Turn us into something that we're not in these lost areas of our hearts and our lives. Dear God, let it be foreign to us and who we are. Let us not recognize ourselves a year from now. That you might be glorified. And I pray, oh God, that we'll just fly all around this place. And you'll blow your wind on us. And I, dear God, we won't even try to understand it. We'll just embrace it. Because we love to fly. In Jesus' name, amen.